One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight. Glad to have you in here with us. Got a great program, How Israel Was Lost. You ever thought about it? A lost nation. How in the world? This is one of the most confusing and complexing issues in the Bible. How that a people that's lost their identity. Hosea is the chapter that sort of addresses Israel because it shows what Israel was to become. And it's not pretty. There's nothing to brag about here. Basically, we got thrown out. We were hard-headed, disobedient, ignorant, and always doing things to make our Heavenly Father mad. We were to be, according to Exodus 19, chapter 3 through 6, or verse 3 through 6 of Exodus 19, says we were to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, we broke it. Listen to Hosea. I will cause, this is when Yahweh just threw up his hands. All day long, he said, I've held out my hands to a gainsaying and disobedient people. You know, I have noticed the characteristics of Israel. You get the 10 of them together, 10 Israelites, and you'll get 20 different opinions, around and around we go. Just in a circle. And we can't hardly agree on anything, and I don't know why, but we still got a covenant. After all this wondering, after all this confusion, how Satan has come in and divided us and turned us upside down, and Yahweh's prophecy here in the book of Hosea. I'm going to the book of 2 Kings, if you will, tonight. And I'm going to start in the 17th chapter. We're going to study and start a series of how Israel was lost. Or we could shorten it down for Bob's sake. Sometimes he can't get a lot of that in there. We could shorten it down to lost Israel. The lost sheep, you're familiar with that phrase. I'm not going to use that tonight. Because everybody thinks that they're a sheep. Every man's way seems right in his own eyes. I'm talking about a covenant, people. The covenant was disannulled. I will cause to cease. Hosea chapter 1, verses 9, or 4 through 9. I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. That's plain. I will cause to cease the kingdom. How Israel became lost. Notice this again. For you are not my people. Huh. I thought we was. But he says here, we're not. And I will not be your God. Jeremiah 3 and 8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I put her away and gave her a bill of divorcement, and yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but she went and played the harlot also. So here is the two houses lost to a national union with our Creator. Lost. For the children of Israel. We're going to start with them first. I'll deal with them first. Then I'll deal with Judah. And then we will take the two sticks in the series. And finally, we're going to put them back together. Because there's going to be a day that these two sticks will be one. And for that cause, we shall be reunited or found. Or maybe he found us. Go only to the lost sheep as we jump forward from 721 B.C. Now, I'm in 2 Kings here tonight, chapter 17. I'm going to jump forward for just a moment to the time of the Messiah, when he commanded a certain people that he chose. All these were Israelites. There wasn't but one Jew from the house of Judah chosen. And that was Judas from the tribe of Judah. And he was the devil. I chosen you 12. One of you is a devil. Now then, when we see this scripture, again in Hosea chapter 3, at the time that the Messiah chose these to go unto the lost sheep, in the New Testament, in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, and the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, that we're going to get into later on in the series, but go back to Hosea chapter 3 and verse 4. This is the prophetic utterance for the 10 tribes. Yahweh's fixing to divide the house. He's going to break it up. For the children of Israel, now that's the 10 tribes, shall abide many days without a king and without a prince or without a sacrifice. Or without an image, that means the pillar or the altar. And without an ephod, that means a priestly garment to receive offerings and tithing and things of this nature and to offer up. There wouldn't be a prince appear. Now, we just jumped forward from 721 B.C. to the time that the prince did appear. And by this time, we have lost ourselves. Even the people that the prince came to, they didn't know who they were. They had forgotten the name of the Father, the Creator. They didn't even know what it was. And under this priestly garment that was functioning then in the Sanhedrin, here is the Messiah preaching against it because he said, you are children of the devil. And so then we've got nothing here but confusion. And in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 18, I want you to mark that tonight for references. Would like for you to read the whole chapter. It's amazing how direct Yahweh, he tells us exactly what he's going to do. Therefore, Yahweh was angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. Now, there's a story behind that, as you'll read here. In Assyrian captivity, Israel found themselves separated from Judah, and therefore, the book of Isaiah is now giving us a language thing. You know, we forgot our language. We went out and forgot the original crown of our purpose. Our eyes were blinded. He plowed up and down our backs like the book of Isaiah says. The drunkards of Ephraim. Here it says in Isaiah 28, 3 through 11, the crown of pride. We were so proud. We wanted a king. We wanted to be like the heathen around us. We were like the prodigal son. We were squandering, and actually we were just doing away with our heritage, casting it all to the wind. And Yahweh was so disappointed in his children that he was so angry that he removed us out of his sight, according to the 2 Kings 17, verse 18. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only, or Yehuda. Remember that. Here's the separation. Here is where Israel, the 10 tribes, were separated from the house of Judah and the house of Levite, which was the ministering assembly to minister to all the 12 tribes. Well, we know that the division was so great that Israel almost punished Benjamin to the point that there was none left. And therefore, they hid 300 of the Benjamites so that they'd have a seatsake, so Yahweh's word would not fall that all of the tribes would inherit. And then there's a question about the 12 tribes, because now we're split because of the adoption of the half tribe of Manasseh, that Israel, Jacob, gave the heritage to, and we know through history that the tribe of Manasseh was the first tribe to be removed out of the sight of Yahweh. We'll get into that later on. And so there's a lot of things that we're going to consider as we search for the Israel and how it was lost. We are looking for the drunkards of Ephraim. They shall be trodden under the foot. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. They will go out and they will have to learn a new language. They'll forget their language. Yahweh gave them the Hebrew tongue. And they will forget that tongue through the crown of their pride. They will become a nation of drunkards. And eventually we're going to find out what nation that is, the largest wine-consuming nation, alcohol, filth, everything that you could imagine, the nation that these people eventually came to. We're going to get to the color of these people. We're going to look at the identity signs along the way. It's really very complicated in a sense, unless you are made conscious and you're to regain and recognize yourself in a mirror. Now, that takes some reckoning. That takes some study. I know for myself that I've studied many, many, many years about this issue that I'm talking about in a series that I hope will bless you and turn you back to seek your image in the mirror to find out who you are. Now, in Isaiah 62, the word Gentile, I believe, is one of the things that Satan has used to cause Israel to be lost. Because here is Israel fixing to be scattered among the Gentiles. Now, remember, they weren't Gentiles, but they were scattered among the Gentiles, and they would forget their language, they would forget their identity, and they wanted to be so much like the Gentiles that Yahweh gave them up to worship these vain things that the Gentiles worshiped. And here we are now. We are, as the Bible says, we are a lost people, lost sheep, a lost nation, lost identity. And yet, the signs are so visible when we look at it that a fool, though a wayfaring man, wouldn't err therein when he got appointed toward who Israel really is. We're still a kingdom of priests. We have it within us. It's born into our blood that we have a unique feature. We blush. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go only, Christ said, as we jump into the subject, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, let's take, for instance, the word fair, F-A-I-R. If we look at Noah's dictionary, we find that Noah's dictionary tells us that the word fair has so many, many definitions that you're gonna almost be confused. 17 definitions listed for this adjective here. And according to the usage and frequencies, the number one slotted definition of fair is free from spots, free from a dark hue, white. Uh-oh, right there it is. White. Has fair skin, a fair complexion. And then there are 16 more that goes to essentially confuse the first one. Now, you'd think that was enough. White, absent of a dark hue, fair skin, fair complexion. But notice as we go on, we're going to the word Adam. It's translated from the Hebrew word Adam. And if we go into Strong's Concordance, it's number 119 and 120, and the word Adam means ruddy, to show blood in the face. to flush, to turn rosy, to be made red, ruddy, as in rosy cheeks or in a blushing face. It clearly shows that the Hebrew meaning of the word Adam is one who shows blood in the face, identifying an Adamite as a white man. Adam was ruddy. He could blush. He could show blood in the face. He could turn red. He was fair-complected. And so then he originated the white race upon the earth. Fair skin, fair countenance. It's always associated biblically with white skin being fair, as the Bible says, white race. Now, this white, fair-skinned Adamite, who was chosen through the covenant of Shem. Now, you hear a lot of talk today about being an anti-Semite. And somehow, this has got turned into an anti-Semite by people of a color. They have a dark hue. They're not fair. They're not known as Anglo-Saxons. After Isaac. The Bible says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according to Genesis 21 and 12. If you'll notice, the Jews do not recognize the Anglo-Saxons as Israelite, despite the prophecy that they would be. How then have the Jews retained their identity, say they know who they are? And here the Bible says that both Israel and Judah sinned and would forget their identity. You know, we have to almost apologize today for being white. We can have Black History Month. We definitely would not dare to even suggest that we have White History Month. You know, these things are racial. When you are proud of your heritage, now, where did these people get this heritage? What was the descriptive notice in the scriptures given to a historical thing that would notice? Well, it's very clear that when you go and file an application, let's say if you was wanting to be employed, you would have the question, are you a Caucasian, are you Asian, or are you African-American, or so on and so forth. And that identifies your color. And you would check, if you're white, you would check the mark of Caucasian. Now, where did that word come from? Well, it came from the covenant that is lost. It used to benefit you. Now it's a curse to be a Caucasian sitting begging for a job from people who don't want you to work. They actually want to destroy you from the face of the earth. And you say, oh, well, Pastor Buddy, you're paranoid. Well, if you look at the evidence that the New World Order is orchestrating to rid a people, they've already attacked the word, let's take the word Jew, and let's take the word Gentile. Now, the biblical explanation, according to those who are interpreting the Bible and giving us the directives of the Bible, and the Christian world would subscribe to this, there's only two types of people in the world. There is not an African-American. There's not an Asian. There's only a Jew. And the rest are Gentiles. What went with Israel? Where did Israel get mixed and thrown away? Where did they forget their identity? Why would they be encouraged today to forget who they are and to blend into society as a Gentile? Why is it that the Jews are now known as God's chosen people? What would make people believe that there's only two types of people in the earth? Well, we know that the Bible says that the Messiah was related to David. Now, David was a king chosen over the house of Judah, and then over the house of Israel, showing that it was a split kingdom that he ruled over. His son Solomon ruled over that kingdom. And so we have, before the split, we have David's royal lineage, if you will, the descent from the royal bloodline. David was very well known. And to examine what he looked like, he was of a fair complexion. He had red hair. He had crystal blue eyes. And when you read the biblical description of Abraham, Sarah, David, Moses, and then the Messiah, we know that our Savior passed the what we call the royal blue blood test. We know that he was ready and that he was fair. David, Sarah, she was known to be fair. Now remember what the dictionary said about fair. It's white, without a hue, or without a color, and with rosy cheeks, a blushing face, and a white man, identifying here's Webster. He's a white man. From Adam, who was ruddy, he could blush, he could show blood in the face, and from him came the kinsman redeemer. Now, if this kinsman redeemer was to be sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, who would they search for? As it is in 15:24 of Matthew, go not to the Gentiles. As it is in chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Go not to the Gentiles. Go to who? Go to those of fair countenance. Go to those that have been sent abroad here in 2 Kings chapter 17. I give up on them. But the day will come that I will recover them from out of the land where they have been driven to. Now, where is it prophesied that they would go to? Well, in Genesis chapter 15 is the covenant. Therefore, Yahweh gave Abraham, who started this bloodline from Shem, the house of Shem, that descended from Adam, that we know that his descendants were, like the Bible said, related to David, and we give the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. We give it in Luke chapter 3 to reverse it. Two of those doesn't agree. There was a discrepancy. One said he descended from Solomon. And Solomon loved many strange women. He was miscegenated. Yahweh was very displeased with him and would have removed him and killed him if you would have been a more righteous word. Just like he did the kings of Israel who transgressed here in the book of Kings. It shows the evil kings of Israel but for his oath to David, who he set over the house of Judah and Israel, until they warred so much and had so much separation. Now, I have been challenged on this statement that I made, that we know that Christ was an Israelite. He wasn't a Judite. He was related to David, who himself was an Israelite. Now, that's a whole different message. I won't get into it tonight, but if I receive any challenges, I'll have to defend the scriptures in relationship to the unbelief that we've been accepted that Christ was a Jew. That is a lie. He was not a Jew. He was not from the house of Judah. We know that the birthright was promised to go to the sons of Joseph. Now, Joseph became adopted into the house of Israel. And Ephraim was to become the leader, or in reality, he was called Yahweh's firstborn. And so then, we know that David would have had to been related to Ephraim. What does the Bible indicate that he was? Of course it does. And when I taught on this subject many years ago, probably 10 or 12 years ago, by studying with my good friend Russ and Scott, we studied intensively, and we wrote, and we have on our website right now the document of who is the descendant Christ, whose house did he come from? Was he a Jew, or was he an Israelite? Now, there's a difference, because I'm differentiating them right now in the book of 2 Kings chapter 17, that the house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, was separated from the southern house, which was the house of Judah, which had, as I've told you many times past, that Judah married a Canaanite and got a Canaanite mixture in his bloodline. So we've got some problems here that brings in a raging debate from David's royal lineage, who everybody believes that since David was ruling over the house of Judah, that made him a Jew. And so it's assumed in the same way through the lie of the translators, the Bible interpreters, if you will, that Christ himself was out of the house of Judah, or he was a Jew, because there's only two classes of people here, according to the world, or the Bible people, who have deceived the very elect. You see, it's more of deception through ignorance. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, since you reject knowledge, you can't tell them the truth. Well, I know he was a Jew. That's all I've got to say. Glory to God. It's settled in their mind. They can't read that. But they believe it so strong, since they've been told that from the word go through the Christian religion, or so-called those who call themselves Christians. A Christian is Christ-like. It has the Messiah anointing upon it. If you've got the Messiah's anointing, he came to give you a recognition of who his people were, and that he himself would come through his people in a bloodline called the royal lineage. David was very well known for his fair complexion. He was ruddy. And yet today, everybody depicts David as being a dark, eastern, if you will, something more like a Khazar, a certain hue, or dark eyes. ladies and gentlemen, the Khazars, who now have ascended to preeminence as Jews. And the scripture indicates that there is a people that claim to be Jews, or from the house of Yehuda, and are not. But they're children of the devil. And when you relate that, and when you tie it in as scriptural would say so, then you get attacked from every quarter. From those who have been traditioned to actually forget. I mean, they'll fight against you. They'll kill you. Thinking that they're doing God, as they've been taught, a service. So, if David was very fair, and we read the biblical descriptions of Sarah and Abraham and Isaac, and all through the scriptures, we go back and trace the racial validity of our Messiah, we begin with examining the various branches within the genetic tree. You got to begin with their origin, where it all started, with Adam and his descendants, known as fair people, blushing red, showing blood in the face. Not all people can blush. And just because you can blush doesn't mean that you have a covenant. Because Adam had his sons, when they began to descend, they descended to the 10th generation, which was Noah, and he had three Caucasian sons. Here's where the people go wrong. They believe that we're all from Adam. Now, the Bible is not the history of other races. The Bible is the history of Adam's race. Now, it does speak about in the garden where there was a tare sown into the house of Adam. From the word go. Matter of fact, it got there before Adam did. We know that Adam's wife, Eve, was beguiled. That word beguiled has sexual overtones to it. And we know that the Bible is speaking about her sons. We're talking about Abel, and we're talking about Cain. We find a discrepancy between the bloodline of Cain and Abel. The Bible says that Abel was righteous and Cain was wicked. We know that from the tree that as the stock of the seed sower in the book of Matthew chapter 13, that the devil sowed a tare in the very beginning and went his way. Now, nobody takes into account that Eve was pregnant of twins. She had two different children in her womb. She had one good seed and one bad seed. The bad seed was planted first, so man gets the prototype. We're all prototyped with a carnal mind to do good or evil. We want to do good. But if we got the wrong seed, most of the time we'll do evil. Because the Bible said you either make the tree good and the fruit good, or you make the tree evil and the fruit evil. Well, Cain, believe it or not, could not do good. His works was evil. His father was evil. You say, well, his father was Adam. Adam was not the father of Cain. Matter of fact, I don't believe he was the father of Abel. Now, that really throws people in a tizzy when I say that. We got two trees specifically mentioned in the Bible. One is the tree of life. The other is the tree of death. These trees fathered the children. You say, oh, trees can't father children, Pastor Buddy. If I trace my family tree to its original then, I'm not talking about an apple tree. I'm not talking about something in the natural. I'm talking about the ones that bring life. Satan brought death. He didn't bring life. Although he was capable of producing an offspring, the offspring did the works of his father. Cain was told purposely and deliberately by Yahweh that he couldn't receive him back into the kingdom, that he could never come back because his blood was not correct. Now, if the correct blood is the Anglo-Saxon, the Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, the kindred people, the Caucasians, as they are known, because they made their trek out of the chosen land where they were originated to be scattered first to the west and then to the east and then to the north and then to the south. That is the covenant that Yahweh gave Abraham and Isaac, that his sons would be scattered. Now we're talking about here Jacob, because he's the father of the 12 tribes. And Jacob was fair. Jacob showed blood in the face. He was from the family that did so, and they were known as Caucasians. Well, today, we are forbidden to talk about, in the Bible, of the family of Yahweh, chosen Caucasians. Now, we've got Satan and his blood lying in the earth. Well, now that's one of the mysteries of the ancestral root from the ancestral genealogy. And the book of generation of the Messiah begins in the book stating that Christ, the Messiah, was the son of David. Now, if we go to a certain scripture in the Bible, we understand that David's father, he came from a bloodline. And so if we see this bloodline and its confusing text in the book of Matthew, because here it states that Christ came through the Solomon. Well, Solomon is a noted wise man. I want to ask you a question. Who said he was wise? Did Yahweh say he was wise? Or did Yahweh say he was foolish? You know, a lot of times we take for granted that Solomon was a wise. What was he wise in? He was wise in his own conceit. We know that. And so Israel is wise in their own conceit. They've lost their identity. And tonight, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, as we investigate Shem's ancestry, it takes us from Shem to Abraham. We can't get that connection from Ham and Japheth. These two are not tied other than directly being brothers to Shem, and yet only one of them have a covenant. And from this side of the covenant, Shem, we have the ancestry that identifies our Messiah, Christ, coming from the bloodline, and we know that he was white. We know he had white hair. We know he had a white face, according to Revelation, in chapter 1, and verse 10. We know that he was of a fair complexion. And we also know that David was fair. He was ruddy and showed blood in the face, just like his father, Adam. So then we come from a generation of people that came known later as the sons of Israel. And then we became lost, and now we're known as Caucasians. And yet we don't know we're Israel. We give the Jews heritage. We sit in the churches every Sunday and worship the Jews as God's chosen people. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, in chapter 2 and verse 9, that we ought to beware of that. We ought to examine that. If you notice in the genealogy, Abraham begot Judas and his brethren. And Jesse begot David. Now, if we look at David in 1 Samuel 17 and 12, we find that David is not a Jew. Or at least his father wasn't a Jew. Because Jesse was an Ephraimite. Not a Judite. Plainly, right in the scriptures of Strong's number 672. Which means from the descendant from the house of Joseph. So if Christ was the bloodline firstborn, he had to come legally to obtain the kingdom. He had to come out of the house of Joseph, not out of the house of Judah. But the lying scribes, who have deceived the very elect and helped in causing Israel to forget their identity and become lost, we're on a roulette wheel, if you will, playing Russian roulette with our life. We're lost. There's no one to point the direction. There's no one to indicate that we're out of the house of Joseph. Ephraim, the firstborn. Ephraim is my firstborn, but there's no offspring, according to the Pharisees and the Jews' doctrine, that would produce a son out of the house of Ephraim to have the bloodline and to inherit the birthright. And so this mystery continues down through the ages, left unchecked or unchallenged. You've got to have a lot of courage to get on national radio and teach a message that says that Christ was not a Jew in the face of all those Gentiles who believe that the Jews, the Khazars, these people of a darker hue, they're not fair, they're not white, they're a mixture. They're not Caucasian and don't claim to be. A Caucasian is nothing but a dumb Gentile, according to the translators of the Bible. Are we? Or are we more? Are we a nation that has forgotten our identity? Are we lost? Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, that we're struggling for an identity. And so therefore, we pick up the term identity. Or, is he identity? What are they talking about? Identity is to recognize who you are. You're more than a Gentile. Oh, I've never heard of anybody that's a Gentile calling themselves Israel. Israel is a Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. The 10 tribes of Israel that became lost and are now trying to be found by a remnant of men and a generation of priests and kings that are ordained for this purpose in the last days to restore the identity of our fathers and our ancestors, which Christ was our Messiah. We've got something to be thankful about, but he wasn't a Jew. Well, right then, 90% of the Gentiles will turn you off. They don't like to hear that. They know that Jesus Christ was a Jew, they say. They've heard that all their life. And when you challenge them to read that, they'll say, well, I know it says that because it's somewhere in there. I've heard the preacher preach on it. Just because you heard a preacher preach on it doesn't make it true. We know that the Pharisees were preachers. The scribes were preachers. The lawyers were preachers. And it said, beware of the scribes, beware of the lawyers, and beware of the Pharisees. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. That means they pretend to be the people of Israel when they're not. When they're not even blood related to the house of Shem, and it can be proven out of their own mouth. They'll tell you, no, they're Ashkenazis. And yet, if you come against them or say something against them derogatory, they will charge you with being anti-Semitic. And there's laws on the book that says you shouldn't be anti-Semitic. Because the Jews are protected. They're the only people in the world that's protected. Have you ever heard of anybody that says anti-Gentile? Well, I'm anti-Gentile. I'm not anti-Semitic because I am a Semitic. There is nothing that the Gentiles are going to inherit but the wind. There's no covenant to them. There's no promise to them. There's no promise to the Khazars out of the house of Ashkenazi. And yet they have all the glory and they have all the honor. Why? Because they have deceived the world by calling themselves Jews when they are not. Because if you get into the bloodline and the offspring, then it leads you away from the house of Shem to another bloodline. Well, which one is it? Did Christ come through the house of Shem? Was he related to the house of David, which was a house of Ephraim? There is no Judite bloodline that I can read, and I've searched this pretty close. And I've studied under some pretty good men that would turn over every stone looking for it, but can't find it. I've been challenged by people on the radio over the years. But when you get down to the fine points of the biblical expressions and bring the word to the light, then I say, well, I didn't know that was in there. You see, we teach what we hear. We assume that what we hear is right because we hear so much of it. Hitler said, once you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes the accepted truth. Then when you preach against that accepted truth, they'll call you a liar. And then when you prove your point by the spoken word that's written as a testimony that you may have a witness, and the Bible said, search the scriptures wherein you think you have eternal life, you don't have any. And this is the dilemma, all right? Part one of the lost house or the lost kingdom. Let's put it in there like that. The lost kingdom. We're searching for a kingdom tonight, a kingdom of people who are Caucasian. Where they come from? What generational connection do they have back to the one we call Jesus Christ in the Bible? What did he have to relate back to the people that we're talking about? What bloodline did he come from? Is it all in the Bible? And the answer is a resounding yes. It's in the Bible, but it's not according to what the scribes and the Pharisees have had us to believe. Now, tomorrow night, we'll continue on this same subject in search of the lost kingdom, and we'll go into some of the ways that Satan has deceived the very elect as they've entered in. Satan's children have entered in to become the recipients of all of the good things that would happen to those who believe in the world that they're God's chosen people, and people who have been deceived, the lost sheep, will set them up on the throne and worship them when they themselves should be the ones of the focus of attention, and yet through blindness has happened to the house of Israel. Blindness. You can't help a blind man when he believes he hears the sheep blatant from the throne. And there are the people that sit tonight on the throne. They are admired and worshipped all over the world as God's chosen people. In reality, they're not. They're Khazarian from the bloodline of the mongrels that came from the house of the Cain, and blood fused into the royal bloodline. I admit that Satan got into the bloodline, the royal blood, and that Satan's seed, which claimed to be out of the royal house of Israel, are not, but they are sons of Satan, and the works of their father they will do. He was a liar from the very beginning, and abode not in the truth, and there's no truth in them right now. When they speak a lie. And the whole world has been deceived through the cunning craftiness of Satan, who planted the seed and got away with it. The seed that we're worshiping today as God's chosen are the Canaanites and the Edomites, who are blood fused into the royal house of Israel through Judah. And it's a nightmare. How to separate the genetics, how to tell, how to discern it. You know a tree by its fruit, the scripture says. If you'll watch enough of this fruit of belief in the world, the whole world is deceived. The Bible says the whole world will wonder after the beast. That deceit sower from Genesis chapter 3. And I hope and trust that tonight that you've not become a victim. Now, we've got to get off here. Tonight, you're listening to Pastor Buddy, and I got to give you the correct address tonight. A lot of people jumping on my case about this. It's Post Office Box 568. That's in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. I'd like to hear from you. I need your help. We're trying to get the assembly going, and boy, if you could throw me in a love offering of a little extra, I'd really appreciate it. Every penny will be spent in that I have. And we're calling up on you to help us. Praise Yahweh. For those who know us and those who appreciate what we're trying to do, we're working hard in your behalf, trying to get the festival ready. So we need your help. If you can, help us. Praise Yahweh. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, the zip 37874. You're listening to me tonight on WWRB for 2390. It's coming in good for you tonight. Praise Yahweh. Give us a good report. We got a report out of Indiana today that it's coming in good. If you can help us on the fee site, let us know about that. I'll be back tomorrow night, part two. You don't want to miss it. I'll get into the discrepancies of the seed lines, how Satan got in, how he pushed the Messiah out, and they killed him, and then they said that they would inherit what he was to have. We'll see about it. The lost kingdom. We're going to hunt for him. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB. We'll see you then. Praise Yahweh. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock Central, we'll be seeing you. Go to our website tonight, Brother Bob's working hard on this, and you'll enjoy it. Praise Yahweh. We'll soon have the new one up. Until then, go to oneyahweh.com for articles concerning and messages concerning the message tonight. Yahweh bless you. If you'd like to have these sent to you in a CD, just write Pastor Buddy. I love you. See you tomorrow night.